So the name of this workshop is First Tradition and Food Plans. And I give you our speakers. Donna, you want to start?
Hi, I'm Donna, a grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Donna.
And this is the First Tradition and Food Plans. And I came to OA years ago, and I was always on a losing food plan. I'm the person who, I wore my disease, and when I first came in, I only had 40 pounds to lose, lost those 40 pounds, maintained them. Then I decided to take the scenic route, came back again, lost those 40 pounds, I had 40 pounds and an extra, I probably was more like 60 pounds at that time, lost that, took the scenic route again, came back in, had 100 pounds to lose, lost that, took the scenic route again, then I had over, and now I'm maintaining a weight loss of 170 pounds. I've been maintaining this weight for 6 years, and my food plan is simple, because I can complicate things, but my food plan is three weighed and measured meals with nothing in between but coffee, tea, and diet soda, and I've been doing that for 6 years. Is it easy? No. But what I like about it is a food plan that I chose. It's a food plan that works for me. One of the things I've always liked about OA is that I don't have to stick to one food plan that everyone sticks to. It's my food plan, and it works for me. Somebody else may have a food plan that works for them. When I sponsor babies, if they have food plans that work for them, it's their right. I don't tell them what they need to do. I can only suggest that, well, this is how I've handled the situation. This is what I do in my program. It's their choice if they want to work it that way. One of the things I like about coming to OA and going to different meetings is so many different people that I see, and I love it, you know, and different body sizes. There was always this perception that, oh, there's going to be all these humongous 300-pound people, but there isn't. There's people who have maybe 5 pounds to lose. There's people that have 305 pounds to lose. That's the beauty of this program. It's that I can make the choices, and the food plan that I chose to start on my losing food plan was the dignity of choice, and it gave me a choice, and it gave me dignity that, you know, I didn't have to tell people I was on Weight Watchers. I never did Weight Watchers. I always did the ones like Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem. And the very first diet that I started on was, Scarsdale. And it was always these wacky foods that I'd have to eat. And, you know, it just, Jenny Craig was the worst. That was the most complicated one. And I knew about OA at the time. And I just remember when I did Jenny Craig, that was like it. I can't do this anymore. And realizing that I was tired of being sick and tired, I decided to stop taking the scenic route and come to OA and work the program, do whatever I had to do to work the program. And I still go to any lengths to work the program because now it's not only vanity for me and it's not the good life I have because I'm down 170 pounds, but it's also my health. I'm at that age where all these things like blood pressure, diabetes. My mother was diagnosed with diabetes when she was my age, actually a couple years younger, but I can remember she was diagnosed with it, and it was just like, yeah, I'll take care of myself, and then finally the diabetes really just wrestled her, you know, at an age where, you know, you're getting ready to retire, you're getting ready to enjoy your life. She couldn't enjoy her life because she had the diabetic neuropathy, she had the kidneys that really went downhill and had to go on dialysis, and she also had the blindness, and seeing these things, it was painful, and I really had a lot of problems dealing with it, and I guess my hope coming into these rooms is realizing that I don't have to suffer like that. I can, you know, choose to work this program, choose to do what I need to do, and stay in the rooms and work it. And that's all I can do. And I only do it one day at a time because I used to like to project and, oh, I'll be this way next year, I'll be this, and that always turns into a disaster for me. So all I have to do is walk into these rooms and have the desire to stop eating compulsively. And just one of the things I do is no matter what somebody says, I can take it or leave it. And even somebody who's been in the rooms maybe 2 weeks, they could say something like, yeah, I like that. But all I have to do is listen today and just be open to what everyone says. And may not be my time to hear it now, but maybe down the road it will be my time to hear it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Eileen, a compulsive reader.
Hi, Eileen.
And I'm going to share a line from somebody I love. She's left the room, but I have brown eyes and I'm a compulsive reader. Neither's going to change, though I did try hazel once. Contact lenses, I looked adorable. I look like Children of the Damned. Are you kidding? Anyway, Margaret wanted, she said, I'd like you to come and speak because I need somebody outspoken. And I read the, as you have the flyers, there's more handouts out here if you didn't get one. And it talks about January 5th's reference to the unity of our groups, the importance to personal recovery. And the three factions it talks about, there are those of us that need to have a strict disciplined food plan. The second faction is those who choose to do the 12 steps, and at the end of 12 steps, God will remove their compulsion. And the third is in between. All I can do is share my own personal strength, hope, and recovery. I had the privilege of meeting Roseanne, the founder of OA, a little over 30 years ago. And my question to her, because I came in with a diet mentality, is, what's with the gray sheet? She had put together a program. Now, here she was, the founder of OA, struggled to get this program going, tried to do it her way, finally surrendered, up and down, all this wonderful person, and all I could think to ask her, what's with the gray sheet? You know, I had a chance of, you know, now I would ask her different kinds of wisdom-type questions and so forth, but that's where my head was. And she said, well, we had to put something together. So we put that thing together, you know. And then when they went into an orange sheet at that time, it was more open, a little more open, and more food plans were being accepted at the time. We gave each other gray sheet guilt, you know, so that was a whole thing. I walked in these rooms August 1976. I took the scenic route for 26 years. I had gained about 15 pounds after losing 82 pounds on Weight Watchers as a lecturer. Had to get the weight off. They were changing their program. There was no maintenance program in place yet at that particular time. So I came into these rooms on the advice of a doctor who I loved dearly. She said, I would never treat an, she was a psychiatrist. I thought I was crazy. She said, I would never treat an alcoholic without having them go to AA. I want you to go to OA. And I didn't know it. Almost 34 years ago in OA, we were crazy. We were crazy. But I knew I belonged. And I tried doing it my way over and over and over again. Not that I didn't do service. Not that I didn't participate in retreats. You know, I love the program. I love the people. I have friends today that came into these rooms that I've known for over 30 years. The most important person in the room is a newcomer, as we all know. But you know what? I tried it my way, and I came back into these rooms. Well, I first walked in with 15 pounds. Zoom ahead a little over 7.5 years ago, and I was over 300 pounds. The progression of this disease is incredible. It has nothing to do with intelligence. We're not stupid people. For years, I fought nurture and nature. I try to analyze. They say utilized. You know, there's not an original bone in my body. When you hear me speak, it's from all the wealth of knowledge I've gained in these rooms and through the big book. I love the unity of the group. I love also, I'm going to tap into the 12th tradition, principles over personalities. I always say amen, because I would go in the room and sit there and start judging every one of you. Oh, this one, that. This one doesn't have it as bad as I do, and this one doesn't know what I get through. The program was explained to me as breaking down ego. I am one of many. And every once in a while, somebody would come in the room, oh, here she comes again. Oh, she's going to go on to the, you know, the pity pot. She probably has a fur line one lined up for herself today, blah, 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 blah. And invariably, this person would say something I needed to hear at that particular moment. It's very humbling. Today, I am so much, and you know what? I look at OA as a classroom for my life. It's not about the food. Even though I'm going to talk about food plans, I'll share my food plan. I cope. It's a symptom. We had no OA literature when I first started. We used AA literature. I said, why are they handing me AA literature? You know, this is a food thing. Today, I have no problem substituting food for alcohol, drugs, gambling. This is my core issue, the food. It has always been there. I was not a fat child. I was a skinny, sickly child. I always had a thing with food. That's how I was brought up. I could look at my home life and understand, oh, that's why. It is what it is, and it's never going to go anywhere. And I have tried everything. I mean, I always used to own the Ocean Township Diet Center in the 80s. It was very successful, but after 6 months, after losing 125 pounds, I had to hide behind my counselors because I was too heavy to counsel people. And I have had, you know, I mean, this time, my difference in my program this time, the last, I got abstinent May 2nd, 2002, and I've been abstinent ever since. And in the same body size, I was hoping it was going to be smaller, but this is where I stopped, and this is what it is, you know, hormonal stuff and all sorts of stuff going on. But this disease has cost me a lot in my life, and I'm so grateful that there is a solution. I use the unity of the group in my marriage as well. I remarried 2 years ago. It's not what's best for Richard. It's not best for Eileen. It's what's best for our marriage. It's what's best for the unity of the group. It's putting down my ego. When somebody has a suggestion, I pick my battles. How important is it? We're all different. We're all coming from different places. And there's no rules for this. You know, there's different suggestions that are made. I took every one of those suggestions, and I needed to use it. I had to. They told me when I walked into this positive share meeting, and I wanted to just dump like crazy because that's what I was used to. They told me to take the cotton out of my ears and shove it in my mouth and listen. And I didn't, you know, and I did, because I wanted what they had. And I went out to lunch with them, not to see what they ate. How were they living their lives? I had never heard of 20 years, 18 years, 30 years of abstinence, back-to-back abstinence. I had never heard this before in my life. And they were no different. They were just nice people. This is how they chose to eat, you know, to live their lives. One woman, after 18 years of abstinence, I said, how do you feel? I said, what's it like? She said, it's boring. I had to let go. Sometimes, now my life's not boring, and most of our lives are not boring. Life interferes with our plans. But most people, she said, I was used to the drama. I didn't realize I was addicted to the drama. You know, you never know what I look like. I'm like the Madonna. I kept reinventing myself. Well, if I changed my hairstyle, I could be a size 8. I could be a 24 and a half. I mean, I was all over the place. You look at pictures of myself. I do have pictures if anybody's interested. I'll just start passing them around. But I look like a different person. I could go rob a bank, go come back. Nobody would even find me because what I look like, but not what I weigh, what my hair look like, whatever. But I love the fact that the primary message is my own recovery. And it's not just the physical recovery. It is the emotional and the spiritual. This time I let my higher power in my program. I thought God was too busy. Even though I grew up with a very loving, merciful God, I thought, why should I let God in? He's too busy. He has other things. I learned that everything is small to my higher power. Everything in life is small. And I go to him with everything. And like I started to say earlier about life, OA I look at it as a classroom where I come and learn. It's easy to practice these principles amongst ourselves as it is instructed to do in the traditions, but to take it out there and practice it. And I do practice it in my life. When I'm with somebody, I watch what I say. It doesn't go from here to here anymore. My behavior, that's more important. How I think about somebody else. When I'm working with others, that helps me so much. That's how the drunk stayed sober. You know, that's how the drunk stayed sober. I picked a food plan I could live with. There's so many different types of food plans out there. People do moderate mealing. Some people choose to weigh. I may measure all my meals, except when I go out. Some people do weigh and measure when they go out. It's a personal choice. I picked a basic 4 plan. There's very little I don't have. I stay away from refined sugar and refined flour. And, you know, I keep it very simple, but good. If I want something, I talk to my sponsor, incorporate it into the program, as long as I'm not getting into my trigger foods. Because once I put the food down, I am now sober. I don't think I could work the steps. I did try. I tried different ways if I was still into the food, because it's like working it drunk. You know, I know there are meetings out there that you don't need to be abstinent to lead. First of all, it's a privilege to lead. It's an honor. But sometimes that happens. And again, I had to keep my mouth shut. That's the way that the group conscience was. And I feel like, you know, I look at it like AA. I always put it as an analogy over to AA. I'd like to lead the meeting today. I only had a couple of beers, you know. It's hard, but we don't have enough leaders. And if anybody's here who has not sponsored yet and who's able to sponsor, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. To hold somebody's hand is such a privilege. You get back tenfold. That made all the difference to me, because that's how the drunks got sober. Doesn't matter the outcome. The effort of doing that is so rewarding. I focus very much on the principles of this program, It helps me in my everyday life. I love to live in the solution, not the problem, even though, I'm used to being, I love to isolate. I still love to isolate, and I have to force myself to get out there. But I love the fact that I now allow all the diversity in my life of this program. It just enriches me. And even in my own life, every time I want to shut somebody out because I don't like the way they look or maybe they said something, I'm cheating myself from knowing another human being. The trickle-down effect in this program is remarkable. I'll tell you a quick story and then I'll wind up. I was married a very long time, and unfortunately our diseases tore us apart, and thank God he got in recovery 6 months after I got abstinent. We would have been married next month 45 years. And But I'm so grateful when I found this lovely man, but I made my program first. They told me not to make any major decisions or make in my relationships for the first year and a half, and I waited. I still screwed up. I still got engaged to somebody, and it wasn't the right thing. But that person put me in a place where I could meet my husband. And I had to explain to him while I kept running in the bedroom and I was sponsoring a lot of people. I was sponsoring 13 people. I was alone. I could do this. The phone kept ringing. I ran in the bedroom, came out. I had to tell him, look, I'm not a madam, and I'm not a bookie. I said, he knew I didn't eat in between meals, but he did not, then I had to explain my program. I said, oh, this is going to be a deal breaker. And he didn't trivialize it. He didn't laugh. He said, you know what? That makes sense to me. That makes sense. And ever since then, sometimes he wants to carry me to a meeting, but because there's a difference when I don't get a lot of meetings in a row. I love this program. I love this program. God really got my attention, and he used the food to do it, and I am so grateful. I'm so blessed. And I'm just so, enamored with this program. So, again, your food plan is your food plan. It's between you and your sponsor. I still sponsor a lot of people, not as many as 13, but I do sponsor a lot. Everyone has a different food plan. As long as it's weighed and measured, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we share, because I know it's not about the food, but it's stopping the compulsive overeating. I love that fifth step. All it is, the only desire of a member, it's only a desire to stop compulsive overeating. But and I love a line I took out of the 12 and 12 in the first tradition. Unity doesn't mean uniformity. It just means we want to continue to grow these meetings, and we have to present a united front. We're all coming from different places. The music is different. The music is the same, but the words may be different. And God bless you all, and thank you for letting me read this question.
Hi, my name is Carolyn. I'm from Jersey Shore Inner Group in Little Lake Harbor, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. This was a surprise to me. I was just going to be a backup, but I have been in program for about 7 years, and I went for vanity. So clearly I was there just to lose the weight. I came in wanting not to be the fat mother of the bride. I had about, 50 to 70 pounds to lose, and I could not believe what this program has taught me. It's just a blueprint for life. The traditions, the steps is just a way that I have learned to live my life, and I cannot imagine a program without it. I believe when I came in the beginning, I used it as a diet club, even though I heard all the warnings, everyone, I heard it, but I didn't really listen. I knew it, but I didn't really feel it in my heart. And so I lost all the weight that I needed to lose, still maintained going to the meetings, doing the reading, writing, thought my spirituality was where it needed to be, but in actuality it wasn't. I was going through the motions of it, but my unwillingness to turn my life over to my higher power, I believe, was not there. So I had a 3-year relapse, and that was very, very painful. And in that time, I learned a lot. I had to get a lot of outside help through that. My food plan, and that's why I absolutely love this January 5th reading and this topic itself, because we all do have to find our own food plans and our own ways to what works for us. And that was what I liked in the beginning, and although in the beginning I cherry-picked. Oh, I can just do what I want to do within the program. I don't have to do this step, and I don't have to do that step, and I can eat whatever foods I wanted, even though desperately in the beginning I wanted them to tell me exactly what to eat, because I was used to that with Weight Watchers and all the various other programs that I spend thousands and thousands of dollars on. You know, tell me what to do, I can follow this for a while, and then I'll lose the weight, and then boom, right back up again. And that was my pattern. But for some reason at 50, all of a sudden it didn't work anymore. You know, I could not lose or stay on a program, a diet, as I called it then, for more than 2 weeks, and I needed, I'm not going to be able to lose 70 pounds in 2 weeks, you know. So I was frustrated not being able to be directed to a food plan, because Dignity of Choice at that time was not available. It hadn't been approved yet. So I was kind of doing Weight Watchers, listening to the flour and sugar thing. I'm not supposed to eat that. So I knew sugar was a problem. I knew chocolate. I knew I couldn't eat chocolate. Sorry, I shouldn't mention foods. I knew I couldn't eat sugar. And so I took that out of my food plan, but I was still eating flour. And, you know, that was okay for a while, and I became more willing. And then eventually I did pull that part out. And that was okay for a while. But then I sought a nutritionist who works in the food addiction counseling. She works very closely with a lot of the treatment centers, and she actually helped in writing the Dignity of Choice that we use right now. And I work with her now currently monthly. And she worked through my 3-year relapse, and I needed that. I really needed that counseling and that guidance. So with my sponsor, she works very closely. I am very fortunate that it's covered under my insurance. I only have to pay a small, copay. But there was a year that I had to pay a lot of money per month. But that's all. No matter what, I was going to do that, because I knew if I didn't have her, I had nothing else. I was going to be lost. I would be out there eating. So I've gotten through that. It's been 19 months now, I guess. I'm pretty much back to where I was before I had relapsed. And that desire to, you know, get back to, I was not going to give up, you know. So the sponsees that I work with, and I have worked with a lot over the years, some have made it, some have not, but they have taught me so much about being flexible with the food plans. You know, I have so many that, you know, you can suggest, that's not really a great protein choice, you know, but they call in foods to me that I would never eat in a million years. You know, they ask me what I eat, and I tell them I don't eat that. You know, I don't have experience with that. It isn't something I suggested, but I let them go and let them find their own way, because they have to find their own way. But the key to me is my connection with my higher power. And if I'm connected well with my higher power and he is guiding me through everything I need to do, the food just flows, absolutely flows. Anytime I go into a restaurant, I say a prayer first and ask, you know, God to guide me to find something on that menu that is going to be abstinent. Do I have backup food with me for a starch? Because sometimes that's the problem in certain restaurants. I know, yes, I do, because I need to protect myself and take care of myself. And just the remindance of, you know, it's a desire to stop eating compulsively. And that's what I tell the sponsees that are new, that are saying, I can't do this, I can't do that. Okay, what are you willing to do today? You know, and that I find with the new people coming in is so freeing for them, you know, and they need that when they first come in, you know. I think it's our responsibility in the traditions to make people, you know, feel welcome, you know, have them, you know that it isn't just about a certain food plan. You have to do this, have to do that. And we've had some problems in our area, you know, with that. So, you know, also a part is, for me, it was being open-minded and willing not to judge other people, because I got stuck in that for a while. My ego needed to be broken, and that relapse really did that for me, because I thought I was Miss OA there at one point. I had lost all the weight. You know, I was sponsoring too many people, and that also got to me. You know, I was doing too many things, and I wasn't taking care of me. I got too busy, in just doing. So where I had substituted food, I was using another addiction of busyness and not taking a look at myself. And so then I just needed to put boundaries around what I needed to do for me. And that's another part of this program that I learned, that taking care of myself. I wasn't good at taking care of myself. You know, I was a baby. I was a child. I was so good at taking care of everybody else. I didn't know how to take care of me. And this program taught me that as well. So this, the traditions and the steps is just a pathway and a blueprint to life. And I came in, as I said earlier, for vanity, and it's just taught me a way of living, and I just don't know how people out in the world live without this program. You know, the willingness to allow God to remove, get the food far away from me, to be able to look at me, and be able to learn to grow and run my life like an adult in an appropriate manner. And I can just all thank all the people in the rooms, the new people, the people that have been here years and years, the people that have suffered the pain of relapse, whether it's 20 pounds people have to lose or people that have lost, you know, 100 pounds. They all have, you know, every meeting I go to, I hear, you know, things that I've never, ever heard before. And I'm so, so grateful and feel so blessed, you know, to be here and even just to be able to fill in at Unity Day. I never thought that I would even ever be able to do that. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.